TV Campfire Podcast.
I was like, yep, okay, so you win for the week.
We're here.
I hate to sound like a broken record.
Oh, no! We're fans.
It's one of the best things on television.
Oh! All right, we got you a hold of the
level. No, you didn't.
We talk TV.
That was the best scene ever. Like, that blew me away.
It was absolutely amazing. I just couldn't believe it.
Welcome to the show.
This is podcast number 615, and I am Libya, your host. And this week, we have returning guests.
Malik El-Amin, Artistic Director of Griot Theater.
This is Tom. I chair Visual and Media Arts at Palm Beach Atlantic University in Florida and host the Screen Tom podcast on iTunes and Spotify.
This is Allison, and I write reviews for 6 Degrees of Geek.
Hi, this is Yusun, and I'm a costume designer and TV enthusiast from Los Angeles.
All right, guys. Tom, you have the news. Hit us.
Got a bunch of news. ABC, Sophia Bush has landed a recurring role in Grey's Anatomy season 21.
Sean
William Scott will join Tim Allen and Kat Dennings in their upcoming sitcom, Shifting Gears. Amazon's RoboCop TV series has set Pito Ako as showrunner and James Wan as producer. They preemptively bought the TV rights for Natalie Keller Reinhardt's books, The Eventing and Briar Hill Farm. They're both horseback riding-centric romance book series. Boys Season 5 has cast Mason Dye in the recurring role as Bombsight. David Diggs has also joined in an undisclosed series lead role. And their adult animated series, Secret Level, has announced a star-studded voice cast. Some of the top liners include Arnold and Patrick Schwarzenegger, Kevin Hart, Keanu Reeves, Tamara Morrison, Ariana Greenblatt, and many, many more. AMC has announced that Elizabeth McGovern from Downton Abbey is joining the Talamasca series. At Apple TV Plus, Amber Midthunder from Prey and Roswell, New Mexico has joined Monarch Legacy of Monsters Season 2 in a heavily recurring role. And Apple has also picked up Slow Horses for Season 6 and Shrinking for Season 3.
Yay!
At CBS, Rose McIver will direct an upcoming episode of Ghosts, and Sakaina Jeffrey and Bernard White have been cast as Jay's parents for the one-hour Christmas special. At the CW, Samantha Logan, Cody Christian, Karima Westbrook, Monet Mazur, Chelsea Tavares, and previously announced Daniel Ezra are not returning as series regulars to All-American. DirecTV is in talks to merge with Dish, which is interesting because they used to be big-time competitors. And DirecTV is launching a free ad-supported service next month. Disney Plus announced Iron Man and His Awesome Friends animated kids series for summer 25, featuring world-saving besties Tony Stark, Riri Williams, Ironheart, and Amadeus Cho, Iron Hulk. HBO has cast Kyle Chandler and Aaron Pierre to play Hal Jordan and Jon Stewart, respectively, in Lanterns. At Hulu, Dan Fogelman from This Is Us has set an NFL drama with a generational component. This is his second upcoming Hulu drama, joining previously announced political thriller Paradise with Sterling K. Brown and James Marsden. Max has given a series orders. That doesn't make any sense, so I'm not going to say it. Netflix has acquired the biblical epic Mary, starring Anthony Hopkins, just in time for the holidays. Brian T. from Expats and Reacher has joined Rebecca Ferguson, Idris Elba, Jared Harris, Tracy Letts, Mogis Ingram in Catherine Bigelow's new thriller about a national security crisis in the White House.
Ooh.
Monster Season 3 has cast Laurie Metcalf as Ed Gein's mother and Tom Hollander and Olivia Williams as Alfred and Alma Hitchcock. They've also ordered a limited series adaptation of East of Eden from writer Zoe Kazan, starring Florence Pugh, Christopher Abbott, Mike Feist, and Hoon Lear. They also picked up The Diplomat for Season 3, The Night Agent also for Season 3, and Nobody Wants This for Season 2 with new showrunners, but they canceled Chaos after one season, boo, and Unstable
with
the lows after two seasons. At Paramount, Ben Schnetzer, the lead from Why the Last Man, is joining the Yellowstone spinoff, The Madison. Still no word if that's going to be on Paramount Network or Paramount Plus. Peacock has announced that the new Office series has cast Gbemisola Ikumela from A League of Their Own, Alex Edelman from Unfrosted, Tim McKee from The Witchfinder, and Eric Rahill from The Bear. Starz has canceled The Serpent Queen after two seasons, but they are spinning off Queen Elizabeth I. And that's what I got.
Wow, that was a lot.
A lot of news.
All right, let's start off with the shows, and we'll start off with the one show that got unceremoniously canceled, which is Chaos. And so we're going to wrap up our coverage of Chaos in this podcast. So that means we have the second half of the season to talk about. But I think that's good because a lot of stuff happened, but I also think that it left in a, well, it did leave in a cliffhanger,
It kind of
but.
did. Well, it's an un not so much a cliffhanger as an unfinished story. It, they had clearly set this out as being like a three season storyline, and we only got like act one, and we'll never get the rest of it, which I am very, very bitter about.
Right. Tell us how you really feel.
Well,
Malik, you have any comment? I see a look on your
it
face.
is to me, it's one of the best shows I've seen on television. I think it is imaginative. They have incredible casting. It's well written. And when you have things like gods where you can use magic and other things to tell your story, it just doesn't get better than that. And Jeff Goldblum sitting at the center of it just delights me every time he's on the screen. So I'm like, we hear about shows getting canceled and not renewed all the time. And sometimes I'm like, oh, that's, but this is like the first one where I'm like, I'm struck by that. The show was so, did I just lose something? Oh, the show is so good. I don't understand how, I mean, clearly not enough people are watching it. I
It
mean, that's
was the
why they,
ratings. Well,
but just in terms of.
it was doing well. It just apparently wasn't doing well enough to justify, I guess, how expensive it was. And unfortunately, it was a critical darling. The critics loved it.
They don't care. Netflix doesn't care about
But
critical ratings.
that's the problem. There's the days where a network or a streaming service would actually care about having a prestige show are sadly behind us.
Oh,
And
yeah.
the idea that they would expend money on something just for the prestige of having it is unfortunately not something that they take into consideration anymore. And that's really unfortunate because Chaos was really one of the best things Netflix has.
I kind of like the second half of the season better than the first half. They lean so heavily into the Orpheus Eurydice myth for the first half, and that has been so picked over from movies ranging from Moulin Rouge to, I mean, there's so many different adaptations of that or free adaptations of that. So when they got to the other myths, like with Minos and the Minotaur and his family drama, and they did a really interesting thing with the is it Canaeus? They completely rewrote that, but they did a much better, less offensive version of that. Because the version from mythology is really just, it's gross. And
Yeah, a lot of things from mythology are.
it's gross and transphobic. And the way they by switching it, by staying within the frame of Greek mythology, by making him a child of the Amazons who goes from girl to boy, where they in mythology they murder the boy children at the birth. So it seems like in the Chaos universe, if some of the girls realize they're actually boys and don't leave, they get killed on sight, which we see that happen, which was a really interesting take. But Goldblum was so, I mean, he had so, what an interesting casting choice, because usually you think of Zeus being a little bit more macho and more heroic and leading mannish versus Goldblum does Goldblum. I mean, and we love that. Don't get me wrong. But when he did the capricious things, like frying his brother in the pool, which is like
Oh, that was
not
crazy. I mean,
cool.
even before he fried him, making him get in the
Get in the
pool in
pool.
the first place was just, huh.
That was kind of
Yeah,
gangster, man. It was kind of
it
gangster.
was. It was.
But and what he does, murdering Dionysus' cat. I mean, like, dude, once he did that, I'm like, you deserve whatever's coming to you, dude, because that
Well,
was
the
not
thing
my.
is you saw it coming too. You
Oh yeah,
saw it
yeah,
coming.
yeah. You knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, all of that stuff was really good because he really came off like the head of a mob family. Like for real. Like he was like this Ambrosia that keeps us young, I'm now gonna ration it, and you only get as much as I think you deserve for being loyal to me. And then you gotta re-up, you gotta come back and get more.
What's also, I think, just beautiful about his performance and the writing is that he's incredibly powerful, but he's also like a kid who has all of this power.
He's petty too.
And so he's both dangerous and childlike at the same time, which is
Gee,
an
I wonder who
incredible.
that sounds like in the real world. Can't
What's
imagine.
interesting is that he was, you know, you say he's an odd choice for it. He wasn't actually the first choice for that role. Hugh
Oh.
Grant was supposed to do it, and then there was a
Ooh.
scheduling conflict and he couldn't do it, and they
But I feel
got
like Hugh Grant
Jeff
would have played
Goldblum
a
again.
very similar, because Hugh Grant kind of comes off a little
Well,
fey.
his
Yeah,
big
well,
thing
he's
is
got
charming.
he's very charming, but he's also most recently he's been doing
He's
a
done
lot of bad guys, you know,
he's been
so
doing a
he
lot of
can really
malevolent
bring that
roles in
part of
his
it too.
Yeah.
But it
Well,
would have
I'm
been a
glad we
very
got to
different
s
interpretation.
I'm glad Grant wasn't available, because
Yeah.
getting to see Goldblum in this role is a treat.
Oh, a
I
joy.
did like
A joy.
when Hera is pleading with him, don't be dad, because
Right.
in myth, the Olympians overthrew the Titans, although
For a
they were,
reason.
oh yeah, for a reason, but the explanation that he actually has part of Cronus' soul in him,
what was pretty cool. That was a nice
one of the
twist.
reasons why he's prone to fits of, and also the reveal that the people who go through, we see the people who go through the frame being basically dusted slowly, but when you notice the fountain, you can see the particles from the dust feeding into the fountain.
Oh, I don't think I noticed
If
that.
you're looking for it.
Yeah, you don't notice it until you suddenly see the other scene, and then you go, wait a minute.
I want to talk about the Minotaur myth a little bit, because that was a nice surprise, because the whole thing was like fulfilling prophecy. They're like, we gotta thwart this prophecy, we gotta have him, because the prophecy is that his son,
Yep,
didn't you
his
say his son?
firstborn.
His
His
firstborn.
firstborn.
Yes, that was the key.
First
His
to draw breath.
firstborn. Yes.
First
Yeah,
to
to
draw
draw
breath.
breath. To draw breath.
That's the
That's true.
prophecy.
Yes, more
Yeah, the
specifically.
prophecy was the
first to draw breath will kill
would kill
him.
him.
So, because his son was born first but was quiet, they assumed it was the son, and then they did all this horrible stuff to this child, and then blamed the twin sister on his death. And it was just so much trauma wrapped in that avoidance of prophecy. I was like, I mean, and his original plan was just to not have kids, which I thought was a good plan, because he does not need to be a father. Like, that dude was
Not
not.
really cut out for it,
No,
really.
not really. So I like that his original plan was just to not have kids. And then the gods tell him, oh, you have to have an heir. And he's like, crap. So his solution then is to like lock up.
Chain him up.
Yeah. Well, he was supposed to
This
kill
is.
him, and then he didn't do it.
Well, you
But.
say supposed to. Nobody wanted him to kill his kid but him.
Right, that
The
this is
gods
true.
weren't telling him to kill his
No,
child.
that's true
That
too.
was just his own. And I mean, that's how it works with all of the prophecies. The actions you take to avoid the prophecy
Is what
make the
makes it
prophecy
come
happen.
true.
Which is
Exactly.
totally goes back to Oedipus. Except for in the play, he's already done the thing, so he can't avoid. You're gonna kill your father and marry your mother. You've already done it, dude. You can't escape it.
Well, no, but I mean, but the Oedipus, the king, is the one who sent the. I'm trying to make sure I'm got this right. The father
The
sent him
father,
away in
yes.
order to avoid being killed by his
Yeah,
son.
so he's raised by like a peasant family,
Right,
and
right, So because
then
he
he,
sent him away, he doesn't know that's his father to
right. When
kill.
he murders Laius on
Exactly.
the road, he doesn't
You're
know it's his
right.
father. Yeah, but where the play picks up, all the crucial events have already happened, so it's like, yeah, you're screwed.
But my point is, the twist, of course, is that they told us through the whole time that the daughter was the loudest, she screamed the most, and blah blah blah. And then she was like, wait a minute, I'm the one that drew breath first. And she kills her father because of what he did to her brother.
Yep. And the
And
mother says good when she tells
I know, right? Yeah, that was
her.
crazy. That was crazy. That was a really good fulfillment of prophecy because of your own actions. And then there was another twist. What was the other one? I feel like there was one more I'm forgetting.
The
Phantom
enemies
Menace.
basically say, help us lead a revolt against the gods.
Also, the further exposure of Hera and Poseidon's relationship, because Dionysus walks in on them. So that added attention that we were hoping was going to go into season two, but
Right, yeah, that was really
alas.
good. And I
Well,
like
but
the
Hera
fact.
totally stabs Dionysus in the back.
But also,
Yeah.
Dionysus showed he can't keep a secret to save his life.
I
So he
mean,
was
but we knew
definitely a loose.
this.
Yeah, he was
Hera
a loose
totally stabs
end.
Poseidon in the back by not, publicly acknowledging, because her self-preservation kicks in.
Yeah, but then
Yeah.
I like that she collects all her priestesses and is like, I'm out. So she books it, and I was like, okay, they set everything up really well for
Yeah.
a fantastic season two that we'll never see.
That
That will
we will
never happen.
never ever see. That
I have two words for them:
Netflix.
graphic novel. Thank you.
All right, let's move on. Next up, we're gonna talk. Well, first of all, we're all saying thumbs up
Oh, way up.
for
Yeah.
Chaos.
Absolutely. All the thumbs. I think it's one of the best shows that's ever been on television from my standpoint.
Wow, that is
I
a
don't know
very
if I'd go
strong.
there.
I was like, it's a very strong statement. I really like the
It is,
show.
and I stand by that statement.
I don't know
Okay.
that I would put it, make it the best, but I would say it's probably in the top 10 for
I
me.
said among, I didn't say the best. It's among
Yeah.
the best.
Okay. Oh,
Yes.
okay. All
I
right.
agree with
Yeah.
that.
All right. Next up, we're going to talk Slow Horses, and we're going to wrap out the last two episodes, which was episode 5 and 6. And we, of course, were correct in that River
Who's your
Cartwright.
daddy?
River Cartwright is the illegitimate son of the big villain, or Mr. Anderson. No, he's not Mr. Anderson.
Yeah, he is.
He is. He is
He
Mr.
was.
Anderson. No, he's Agent Smith.
Agent
Agent
Smith.
Smith. He just
Oh,
Or
that's right. Yeah.
Mr. OG Elrond.
Anderson.
He's
Yes.
just Mr. Anderson.
Mr.
And some of
Anderson.
that speech came out
Anderson.
in this role too. I was
Yeah.
like,
Every once in a while. Yeah.
I almost didn't
Yes.
recognize him because he's filled out some.
And he's got that
Yeah.
beard.
Yeah.
And the
But
beard. But
so
it's
yeah, I
basically the
recognize
Luke,
this.
it's a Luke Skywalker story,
Yes.
essentially.
Yes. The guy you're trying to kill is actually your father, who is also sort of trying to kill you, but not really. He was like, oh,
Or
this
trying to
whole
recruit you to join
I
the
know. It was
dark
like the whole thing
side.
was a recruitment. But
He's
I was like,
basically like, if I can kill you should die. But if I can't kill you, come join me.
yeah.
That was
It's like
insane.
he was perfectly good with whichever way it went, really, you
Yeah,
know. I
he don't
mean,
care. He put a grenade in his hoodie. Like, come
Oh my God.
on. Well, that's what he says. You put a grenade in my hoodie. Hard pass.
I
Yeah,
said,
forget
my
that whole
dad made me go
father
to the
thing.
library during the summer. So, the
That,
comparisons are rather different.
yes. I was just like, wow. But I like that he did take a lesson. Like he was like, if they're chasing you, stand still. And if you're after I forgot what the other piece of the advice was, but I like that he was like, oh wait, we're chasing him. That means he's gonna stand still. And he figured out exactly where he was. I was like, nice. I like that he was paying attention, even though he didn't
Yeah.
want to be, but
I
he
mean,
was.
as soon as they were racing through there, I knew that that was going to come back
Right.
for two reasons, because we'd just been explicitly told it, but then also we had seen him sitting at the bar in an earlier scene. Like that's like his
Gene,
little go-to place. So I figured, oh yeah, okay.
He's
yeah.
just
So that
gonna
was
hang
nice
out at the
foreshadowing, and it paid off.
paid off. Yeah, it
Yes.
was a good payoff. And River Cartwright, I still maintain, is still an idiot.
Oh
I
God,
don't
yeah. He's got a hero
understand.
complex.
He
I'm
has a
hoping that.
hero complex that comes and bites everyone else in the butt. Not just himself, but everybody else.
I'm hoping that if they continue his coupling with Louisa, that she can knock some sense into him.
That would
Well, but
be
that's a key
nice.
thing. So what Libya just said is true, and yet he still doesn't seem to be aware of this.
People have
He
told
doesn't seem
him.
to recognize how many people died because he didn't communicate with folks. So
People
I mean
have
that's
told him over and every season, every single season of the show, he does something hero complexy and something bad happens. And every time his teammates are like, dude, stop it. And he's like, no, but this time it'll be different because this time I'll be a hero. And I'm just like,
Yeah,
God.
and this time Marcus paid the price for that.
Well,
I
Marcus
agree.
paid
We're
the
down
price
Marcus.
because I feel like Marcus paid the price because Marcus did something stupid too.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, it's because all the whole thing with the assassins were going after them and all of that. Otherwise, it just would have been yet another stupid thing that Marcus does. But yeah, I mean, at least he kind of made up for it by being a bit heroic at the end.
I don't think that was heroic. I think that was dumb.
You mean
Marcus, he went and got back the gun, of course, in the stupidest way possible by betting again. But he got the gun back and he defended them.
Defending your position is better than running out and chasing. Like, there's that point where he got everybody in one place. And instead of defending that position, he's like, I'm going to go out for this, get this assassin. I was like, what are you doing, dude?
Well, yeah, but he didn't really have anything to defend with. They don't literally did not have any weapons.
Yeah. Well, Marcus had a gun and then they found the revolver in the cabinet.
Yeah.
So I agree that Marcus
they couldn't find. And the bullets didn't have any bullets in it.
They
did have bullets, but what's her name? The replacement. She dropped them all over the floor. It was like, really?
Yeah, but they weren't. It wasn't loaded. I mean, I'm sorry. If I were a spy, I would keep the gun loaded.
Keep the gun loaded, yeah,
in a secret place so I know where to get it. I'm trying. What's the name of the woman who was always busting Marcus shops? Rightfully so.
His partner, the
white spy.
Yeah,
but basically,
yeah,
the drug addict character. She's ready to kill the assailant, and then the new guy who's kind of Cray Cray says you can't do that, and then he does it. I'm like,
very casually.
Yeah,
I was like, wow.
I like that dude. I mean, he's not.
I do not.
But he's.
I do. I think he's going to be really interesting when they actually going start to be, working with
him. In this whole season, all he did was mope, put a knife to a coworker's throat, and then give them armchair psychology lessons.
Well,
they were all accurate, though. He
suffers from PTSD. And
he's
got some serious
PTSD.
This season was where he kind of gets over it enough to be functional. So I think, I mean, because they do show previews of what next season is going to be. And from what I saw, it looks like he plays a much bigger role and he's much more active.
Well, so is somebody going to be like, we're going to have to deal with you putting this knife to my throat before we have a relationship? Because
maybe.
Some things aren't as easily
forgivable. They're all dysfunctional. So, you know, it's just that.
I didn't appreciate that character for this season. Maybe we do this to get to something interesting next season. But he just seemed like a walking trope to me.
J.K. Coe. Coe is his character's name. And
I don't think anyone's ever said his name on the show. Has anybody said his name?
And what's his face? The Asian tech dude. I just want to smack him so many times.
Oh, God. I am so over. If he had been the one to die, I wouldn't have worried at all.
I would have cheered. I would
have been okay with that.
I mean, but he's interesting.
I don't know if he's interesting.
Annoying.
He's interesting.
On my nerves so much.
I'm ready for it. They kill one slow horse every season. One person pretty much dies every season. Yeah, I feel like they did.
Two, they killed What's-Her-Face's partner.
Yeah, I thought they killed somebody in three as well. They killed somebody in season one. They killed somebody in season two. I don't remember.
Oh,
well, Spider buys it, but he's not really part of their group.
We don't care about Spider.
That's true, but
he deserved it.
What you're saying is you're wishing.
The only thing I had against Spider was that they didn't give him a painful enough death. That was the only thing I worried about.
And we still don't know why he burned River in the pilot.
Well, because he was a coward.
Yeah.
That was it. Yeah, he was a coward and he wanted to come off as a hero, and so somebody had to go down for him to look like a hero. So he just ran. He picked River because he felt like River thought he was entitled, which River did.
He is.
Yeah. And so he was like, all right, since you're entitled, I'm going to take you down and take your spot and be the big hero guy. Spider is such a coward.
Yeah.
Were happy with how this season ended then.
Oh, yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
I thought it was done well. I felt really sorry for River's grandfather. I mean, I've had personal experience with relatives with dementia. And just that scene where he's, you know, calling for him and he doesn't want to be left there and all of that. Just it was just kind of heartrending.
When he left him at the home?
Yes. You know, it's
Yeah,
like
because
you promised me, and it that just took my heart out.
Yeah, because the thing
yeah.
is, he knew he wasn't equipped because he left his grandfather at home. He shot somebody in the face.
Yeah.
So
No,
you
you
can't.
but I
It's
mean,
he absolutely needed to be there, but it's just a
it's
heartbreaking
heartbreaking.
thing, you
Yeah.
know.
And the idea that he made some promise before those conditions had arrived.
Right,
Yeah.
right, right, right.
Yeah.
So anyway, so we're gonna say thumbs up for Slow
Oh, yeah.
Horses.
Love the
Uh,
horses.
cannot wait till next season. They did a really good job with this
And won't
show.
have to wait too long.
Oh, when is the next
Yeah.
season?
We don't know, but we know they're done.
Well, yeah, but they still might hold it for a year.
You think they could? You think they could get Jeff Goldblum for this next season?
Considering they've already pretty much probably filmed next
It's
season,
already
maybe
filmed.
six.
Yeah. So next up, we're gonna talk Bad Monkey. And Bad Monkey is the show that I liked at the beginning, but I will say from the episode where they had that whole episode with the villains and we learned everything about it from their perspective, that was when the show turned for me,
Which is
because
early.
it was early,
It was really like three or
but it's
four.
when the show turned for me because what I liked about it was the mystery of it and who done it and trying to figure out the mystery. And I was like, oh, he's only got one arm, and I was all into that. But then once they did the episode all about the villains, it took all that away because they basically told us everything now. So now we know how everything happened, and now it's just a matter of how is he going
Catching
to
him.
catch these guys? And that was not that interesting to me. Especially because nobody was smart. Like, if you're going to do a cat and mouse kind of situation where the cop has to catch the bad guys, somebody in this situation needs to be smart. Or,
Generally, the mouse.
yes, generally it
If
is
the
the
mouse is
mouse.
dumb, you don't have cat and mouse.
Exactly. And that was
It's a
kind of
very short chase after that.
Well,
Yes.
that's kind of my problem, is that the mouse was dumb and the cop was dumb. So watching them kind of just spin around each other was not, and like everybody was stupid. And I didn't find that entertaining. So.
When they put the picture up in the bar, that was like, come on, how stupid are you? You're undercover, but you're going to post your picture on the bar?
Well, just
Not.
going out to the bar was dumb. I mean, because they're supposed to not be seen together, and then they go out to a very public place,
And
and
they
it
didn't
just
take
it
it
made absolutely
seriously.
no
They didn't
sense.
take any of it seriously.
No,
Like,
they
just
didn't.
them leading up to the undercover was just super casual. And knowing that the two of them had murdered a bunch of people, he's like, oh, you'll be fine. Just pretend to be a real estate person. No problem. And I was like, what is wrong with you? Like, everything about all of them, they were just all stupid people, like everybody. And I can't stand watching a show where I feel like I could do better than every single person in the story.
It's one of my former students has dubbed that competence porn.
Or
I've heard
incompetence
you
porn.
say that here.
What is
Yeah,
that porn?
incompetence.
Incompetence porn.
Well, I mean, he called it competence porn because they're not competent. I mean, movies suffer from it, but TV shows suffer from it a lot. The characters are just not competent.
Yes.
That's like unsexy
I
porn.
have to look, I agree with you on all these points. They're absolutely true. I still had fun watching the show because I think it really wasn't a mystery so much as it was a character thing. It was just these characters doing stupid funny shit and you know, us watching them do it. It was humorous. It was weird. It was quirky. And for me, you know, and especially the episodes weren't very long. They were like about a half hour long each.
No, they're
So
not.
I
No, they
think,
weren't. They were full episodes.
weren't
They're
they?
like
Because it
45
didn't.
minutes, I
They were
think.
45
Oh,
minutes.
but,
Yeah.
well, okay. But it didn't feel like, you know, a lot of time when I was watching it. I enjoyed it. I just thought, you know, the quirky characters and the humor of it and the weirdness of it. And, you know, bizarro things happening, like the woman coming back and blowing up the house and things like that, were just, you know, the kind of thing that I thought was fun to watch.
It was not. It was like
See,
slow
Okay, it's
torture
matter of
for
taste.
me.
I enjoyed it. I
I
enjoyed it.
think part of the problem, though, were the villains were so pretty much one, they weren't dimensional.
Yes.
They were very, I mean, once we find out that she's totally evil,
No redeeming qualities
yeah,
whatsoever.
oh,
No
no
redeeming
redeeming
qualities. You're
qualities,
just
and he's
waiting for
right,
her to kill him. You're
and he's
waiting for
whipped.
her to,
I left
yeah.
out the first word that goes with that, but he's totally whipped, And he doesn't realize until the very end when she murders him that he, he made a
He meant,
profession of love to the
yeah,
wrong person.
and that he meant nothing to her.
No.
And we, as the audience, knew that from the beginning.
From the
And
beginning.
the fact that he didn't know that was insane, and was surprised when she killed him. Like, what? Of course she
The
killed
moment
you.
that surprised me, though, is when they killed the Dragon Queen. I did not see that coming.
Yeah, I did. I did because the grandmother said there's something in the what the grandmother said is that the island won't let you go, and that the island, it's the way she phrased it. I was 100% sure that she wasn't going to make it out of this story.
Well, I knew she was never going to leave the island, but I didn't think that they were actually going to kill her.
I did.
And
Well.
you know, I mean, although I did get kind of a clue when they started making, you know, motions toward the little girl being her replacement. So it's like, oh, well, they've got her lined up already, so I guess.
The island
But
has
I
chosen
still
a
felt bad about
successor.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that coming. And she betrayed the island. She
Oh,
did the
yeah.
biggest betrayal ever, so the island took her. So I
The
felt like
angry tree took her.
So Tom, I gotta ask this. How many dimensions did you say?
So what?
How many dimensions did you say when you said it was something dimensional? Do you remember? Okay, all right. I'll ask you offline.
I just didn't. I did like the chemistry between Vince Vaughn and the coroner. I'm
Yeah.
pulling for them, even though she's still mad at him for not getting on the flight with her.
I think she
Because
was right.
he's got a hero complex and he's not as good as he thinks. I mean,
Yes.
you
And
have the
I think that
overconfidence of a white Anglo cis male.
I like the fact that she wiped her hands of him. I think she's better than he is.
Did she
So
though?
she does.
Did
She's like,
she
she
does.
said,
She
yes.
left.
At the
Yeah.
end, she's like, I need to find myself. And she said it was goodbye. And he's the one that pushed her to say that it wasn't goodbye. And she's like, all right, whatever you want to call it. But for her, it was goodbye.
Yeah, no, she showed up for one last fling with him and then bye.
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
thought they had good chemistry though.
They did. They did. But
Yeah, but they, yeah, she deserved better than he was too
Oh yeah.
dumb for
I
her.
think if they, first of all, the book itself, from what I understand, is just a one-off. Although the characters
Oh,
of this writer,
there's a sequel.
is there a sequel? Because I had heard that it was just a one, but what the writer does is he pretty much writes the same kind of characters in all his novels. So they would take another one and just change it to his character and you know, go on from there, I guess. If they decide to actually see, to have another season of this.
They haven't picked it up yet, so who knows?
Not yet, no.
Although Apple has more money. Apple actually has money to pay for shows, unlike Netflix, which just keeps digging more debt.
Yeah. Anyway, Malik, you have any thoughts? You haven't really talked about your thoughts on this.
Now, just if they need some story ideas for next season, I hear George R. R. Martin is free, so he might be
He will
available.
not finish some stuff for them too.
Yeah, that's hilarious. All right, let's move on. Next up, we're going to talk about Only Murders. We're going to talk about episodes 7 and 8. And Yusa, now that you've poked your head up, you get to talk first. What did you think of Only Murders? Is episode 7 is the one, help me out.
Cat
That's
fight.
the one where they visit
The
his
cat fight.
sister. Oh yeah, he
The
goes home to his
sister.
sister, and his sister is played by Melissa
It was
McCarthy.
a cavalcade of stars. It was so many stars. It was amazing. I felt like it was a variety show or like, you know, something, some like, you know, holiday special where it was just like one star after another after another. It was so much fun. You know,
Their fight was crazy.
I mean, but
Worthy of dynasty.
it was very dynasty, but like, you know, I don't want to jump straight to the fight. I want to talk about Melissa McCarthy, first of
ahead.
all,
Go
as
ahead.
I don't know if she was supposed to be like lo a Long Island Jew or whatever, you know what I mean? But like, she was doing the housewife
Well,
thing
she's
for
got the
Joel.
Jersey accent, but I
Yeah,
don't think
she's.
their family is particularly Jewish.
No, I meant, you know, but with the, you know, with the dolls and everything
And
and
the
the hair.
dolls. Oh my
Oh
God.
my God.
She was a revelation. I mean, we all know she's a comic genius. And
I have to say, it was a revelation to me. So I've seen her before. I've liked her before. I've never liked her like this.
Oh, wow.
You didn't like her
See?
in Bridesmaids?
I did, but I'm telling you, this role, I it, she was brilliant in this
Brilliant.
role.
I mean,
Yes.
and the funny thing is, like, you can go, it's very easy to do too much. I got to stop with the jazz hands. It's
You're
very easy to
on camera. No.
jazz hands. I'm talking jazz hands here. So no, I really she was a revelation because she did that thing that really great actors do, which is just kind of walk that line, between caricature and just kind of really giving you something amazing, and I kind of was like thinking like, oh, is this gonna be offensive and like kind of too much, and it wasn't. It was just brilliant, and it was so funny and creepy, and desperate and eerie
And
all
sexy too.
the
And sexy too,
time.
all of those
Oh,
things.
okay, Malik.
Her, the way she was flirting with what's his face?
Martin
Martin
Short.
Short, right?
I think you're telling us a
Like,
little something here, Malik. No, really, like the chemistry between the two of them was really like really great because Martin Short can stand against her in a scene. That's also great. Like he wasn't overshadowed by her. So it was really two great comedic actors really doing their thing. So that was really, really funny. And then thankfully, we got Meryl Streep finally, bursting in, on that scene where,
At the most awkward moment ever,
Of
when he's
course, the most
like,
awkward.
I don't remember who was mounted on who, but somebody was mounted on
He was
somebody.
on top of
He was
her.
on top of
He
her. His
was
thing was
stuck in her
stuck
shawl.
to her shawl. He was stuck to her shawl.
You
So,
slipped and fell on her shawl? Like,
yes,
okay.
exactly. Yeah. So when she burst in, I thought, yay, Meryl Streep. And I thought, oh, is this going to be good? Well, I mean,
Well,
what was I
Meryl Streep
thinking?
is a cheat code. Like, it's
Yes.
unfair. It's unfair to
Yeah.
have Meryl Streep in your show. She is so beautiful. She's incredible.
No, she's incredible. And even in the softer moments, not just the fight scene, but again, she's got amazing chemistry with Martin Short. I think someone told me there's some rumors that there might be some Offset something
Oh,
something.
no,
I'd heard that too.
they're dating in real life,
Who
evidently.
is dating?
Martin
Martin
Short and
Short and
Meryl
Meryl
Streep.
Streep. This,
What?
I
Oh,
know.
yeah.
That's like when I heard it,
I
I was
heard
like, what?
that. No!
Yes,
That hurts my
mind
head.
blown. Yeah, slow jazz
Okay.
hands. So,
Jazz hands have exploded.
yes. So I could see that. I could see the chemistry there. There's like a sweetness there, that like is really, really believable. It makes that believable for me. And obviously it translated into real life. So that was amazing. Like every and I love that the real actors came in and what did Galifianakis and
You said
Eva
the real actors. You mean the fake actors?
Fake actors.
The actors playing
Playing
themselves.
themselves, yes.
And
Eva Longoria and
Eva
Longoria.
Longoria, Eugene Levy.
Eugene
Eugene Levy.
Levy, Eugene Levy, right, exactly. So they were amazing. Like the whole thing, it was just like so much going on. It was a great episode, from top to bottom. The oh my God, and even they brought in
Molly Shannon.
Molly Shannon came back. I mean,
Who
it
is
was.
Molly Shannon? Who am I
She
forgetting?
plays the
She's the one who plays the
director.
director. Yeah.
Producer,
Oh, right.
right? She
Or
came.
sorry, the
She's the
producer.
producer.
I mean, it's got to be a crazy show when you forget Molly Shannon. You know what I mean? And like you forget how funny she is. Like that's some talent on that show. If you're thinking if she's an afterthought on that episode, she really is.
Well, I loved that they'd gone all the way out to New Jersey in order to get, or Long Island, excuse me, Long Island,
Long
To hide
to
out.
hide out from them.
And then
And they're talking about how no
everybody.
one's ever going to find them. And Molly
And
Shannon
Howard.
shows up like 2 seconds later.
Howard tells
I
everybody
was
where
about
they
to
are.
say, well, first of all, why would you tell your secret to Howard? Like, that was a bad
Exactly.
decision
Yeah,
in the
that's on
first
them.
place. Yeah, that's
Yeah.
totally on them. Totally on them. Because he immediately told everyone who asked him.
Although he did a little sleuthing on his own, he wasn't too shabby when he went to the bodega.
So I want to talk about that.
For my money, that was the best episode of the season, by far. I really enjoyed that one.
But I want to lead into the next one. I want to lead into the next one, which is the investigation of the bodega, which brings in the Westies, and you find out all the Westies are signing for the Social Security check. So they're like, "Oh no, all of them killed Dudenoff." And that leads us to, I mean, this episode was okay. This was more of a, we gave you a red herring and now we're cleaning up that red herring more than anything else.
Shout out though to, I was watching, you know, the, when each of the characters were explaining their, you know, their backstory, you know, and, you know, and they were all just kind of standing there and it was like a one man show for like a minute.
Oh,
you know,
my God. Like a thing. I know you're talking about is Kumail.
Let her say it.
Yeah, Kumail. Now, Johnny, when he was redoing the whole, you know, the
A Few Good Men?
One Good Men. A Few Good Men.
Trial scene. Oh, my
Hilarious.
God.
Hilarious. And at one point, when Zach Galifianakis, like, I could see it on the faces of every actor, he ad-libbed that line about being like, I took an acting class. It was in a subway, and you know, and mostly sex workers were my, like, you know, my co-students or whatever. And they panned. They did like shots of reaction shots of the actors. You could tell that they were all like, "I'm not gonna laugh. I'm not gonna laugh." You know, and like, it was just like. And then when Kumail was speaking, and like, it was just, I could tell that, you know, that must. I mean, I would have loved to have been on set that day, because that. I mean, I'm sure there were so many ad libs. I'm sure they were breaking character. I'm sure that they. You know, I could tell that they were trying not to laugh during a lot of the scenes, the reaction.
And there were so many people in that scene.
Yes.
There were so many people in that scene. And that scene made the episode worth happening.
Yeah, of course.
I agree that the episode was, in general, slow, but that scene was golden. Even before he started into A Few Good Men, I loved when he said, "I don't know why I keep replacing the batteries in that sweater." that scene was it for me for sure.
Yeah, he did such a good job. But at the end of the day, the whole episode was like, it's the Westies, it's not the Westies. So it was all culminates into playing the film, showing Dudenoff basically telling everybody, "I'm dying, I'm gonna kill my, I just, I already killed myself, and they're gonna burn me in this incinerator." So, but
well, he was leaving that specifically for Helga,
right?
Because she was the only one who wasn't in the loop about what had happened,
right? And he didn't include her because he thought it would hit an emotional button for her. So, like, I thought that was nice, him being considerate that way. All of that was actually pretty good. Except the only thing that I find unreasonable is that his bone stayed in that incinerator for what, 2 years?
It's really just a prosthetic.
It's
the metal prosthetic. That means nobody ever cleans out that incinerator, is really what that means.
So how often do you clean your incinerator? I mean, what are you going to do?
But anyway, so
you have an incinerator.
I was about to say, I do not have an incinerator. But let's move on.
Can we just give a shout out to Griffin Dunn?
Who's that?
As Dudenoff.
Yeah, as Dudenoff.
Oh, Dudenoff. Yeah.
He kind of disappeared from acting for a while. And then he had, this is his second role in a Fogelman series. He was the presumed dead brother on This Is Us.
This Is Us.
The series. So, but the fact that he can do comedy and drama, and it's just good to see him again, because he was the lead in American, or he was the best. He was the wacky best friend in American Werewolf in London, who starts deteriorating over the course of the movie.
Oh right! Oh my God, that's right.
Speaking of disappearing, I don't know if this is against the rules, but I have to say, going back to Chaos, the character of Theseus disappeared after.
It is against the rules, but not on
episode,
that show.
Then he just disappeared. So that just reminded me of people disappearing. All right. Carry on.
I was trying to wrap this one up. So I think we're saying we really like Only Murders, even their episodes that are kind of slow, that I feel like make us think we're running in place. But it does lead, at the end, it goes back to my theory, which is they're killing stuntmen. So I still don't know who is
We
doing it
just
or
need to
why.
know why.
Why? But I think it goes back to my theory
Yeah.
that I have
Now, I
positive.
mean, I have to just interject that I think this, I mean, there's been a lot to find humorous in this season, but I don't think it's as well done or as even as other seasons past. I think there's a lot of unevenness, and I think that there's too many guest stars.
Yeah.
It's, I mean,
it's been fun
as
though.
Fun as watching, you know, various people do their thing. I think if they just maybe invited them next year, you know, half of them, that would have been better, because really it's like, it's just, you know, cast of thousands at this point, and it just starts to feel really crowded.
Plus,
it felt like a variety show. It really felt like a holiday, like, you know, kind of like, you know, bring out all the stars. And I mean, I really enjoyed the energy of it, but it does actually accentuate the unevenness of the season, making it seem like it's so kinetic and so fun this one episode, and then the other episodes aren't as much. But you know what, for me, a lot of the times, yes, there's a murder, of course, and they do a good job, you know, but for me, a lot of it is the one-liners, you know, and the like subtle acting and the, you know, and that the kind of comedy. So for me, if I get enough of that, then, you know, I'm okay with the show. Like, I don't really care who murdered who, you know what I mean? Like, that's, you know what I mean? That's,
yeah, but what really makes the show for me is the chemistry between the leads.
Yeah. Right.
And
that is gone
when
this
we have this
year.
Many guest stars,
yes.
It cuts down on, I mean, at the end of the episode, with Melissa McCarthy, we actually had the actors take over figuring out the mystery instead
yes.
of our core group.
Yes.
And, you know, it was like, really? I mean, it was amusing on one hand, but on the other hand, it was like, well, that's what our group is supposed to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, it's things like that.
All right, we need to move on, though, guys. But overall, I still think we're still thumb-upping Only Murders.
For sure. For sure.
All right. Next up, we're going to do Fight Night, and we're going to try to wrap this one up too, because we got a slow start on it. And the few of us who did finish it, because I don't think everybody made it to the finish line. Thank you, Yusen. not everybody made it to the finish line. And when we did, we were slightly disappointed. So I just feel like
I didn't make it 10 minutes in. So,
so there you go.
Okay.
All right. I enjoyed the beginning of the show, and I can't pinpoint exactly where I was like, I don't know. And I feel like it should have been, even though it was only what?
It should have been six episodes.
It should have been shorter. They didn't have as much story. And once they reveal that, Cadillac, I was going to say, it's
Cadillac is his name.
Cadillac.
Yes.
Once they reveal that Cadillac was the villain, and then he, you know, tells everyone his plot or plan, this is why I'm doing it.
And we get a visit by his mom, played by Debbie Allen. And I think
that
this
was
is
cool.
One of the first on-camera roles in a while, because she's usually directing.
Yeah, that was cool. But I mean, once we find out why he's, and I felt like we didn't need all that backstory. There was a lot of backstory about
too
why.
Too much backstory.
Yeah, and I was just like, okay, that's fine, I guess. And once we find that out, it needed to wrap up
sooner.
Quickly.
And it didn't.
Yeah, and it took too long. And then when Don Cheadle got kicked off the force for justifiably punching that dude in the face, because that was awesome. Once he got kicked off the force, then him teaming up with Chicken Man was kind of fun, because then they got to see how each other worked and they learned from each other, which I thought was cool. But it still felt like that went on a little too long.
At least
like,
an episode too long.
Yeah, so... Yeah, and I was like, come on, guys, let's go. Like, I really wanted this to go faster. So that's my opinion. Next, someone else?
Yeah, I don't have really that much else to say, because I agree with you on all that. I enjoyed it. I you know, watched the whole thing and finished it up a lot sooner than, I guess, most of the rest of you. Because I was enjoying the ride for the most part. It was absolutely, though, too long. Six episodes should have been the limit for this show because it started to feel really drawn out, and it started feeling like that pretty early in the proceedings.
Yes, we spent too much time with the robbers. Like, I didn't need to spend so much time with the robbers. Like, once we understood how they got played, that's all we needed to know.
Pretty much, because I mean, there wasn't much to their personalities anyway. And so, and you knew that they were all going to end up dead. So, you know, why are we expending all this
Although
time?
not the way you thought they were going to.
That's true
Yeah.
too. And the one guy that I didn't want to survive survived.
Of
So
course.
who's that?
Yeah.
The
creepy
Oh, the
sociopathic
creepy
one.
dude who,
Oh God, what was his name? It wasn't like White Mike. It was.
I can't
I
remember.
don't remember, but he was one. He was, first of all, he was like willing to kill like any of them at the
Anybody.
beginning, and then inexplicably for some reason got
He got a
attached to the kid.
little bit of a heart.
Little
Little
bit.
tiny heart that was like blip, blip,
Yeah, but like the lead robber, who was the only one who seemed even vaguely sympathetic, of course he dies.
Oh, yeah. The Baron.
But you know, the thing is, it's just like you said, it went on too long. I enjoyed the performances of the different characters. I loved seeing Don Cheadle. Samuel
Sam
L.
Jackson.
Jackson was great to watch. Taraji was amazing. I mean, all of them were fun to watch.
And
It's
to,
just
actually,
it.
I really liked Taraji's story towards the end.
Yeah.
Like,
And
yes.
I love the two of them, you know, sort of working together, and that was great. But it was just too long. It was just too long.
When she shoots the dude, that
Oh, that
was
was
like, oh
great.
girl.
That was my favorite point. Like, was that?
And basically ingratiates herself to Sam Jackson. It was
Yeah.
like, it wasn't impulsive, it was very smart. I want to know, Malik, what was your overall, did you feel the same way about Kevin Hart at the end as you did at the beginning?
So, thank you for giving me this opportunity, Tom.
Because that's all I thought about watching the second half is like, I wonder what
you
Malik thinks of this. So,
adjust the soapbox and begin.
I've had problems with this show from the beginning. I've only continued to watch it because, like in the famous world words of Marshawn Lynch, I'm here so I won't get fined. He's an
Someone's
NFL
finding
player.
you?
He would show up at press conferences, and if he doesn't show up at the press conference, he gets
It's
fined. So that
fine.
was his answer to every question.
Thing.
I'm just here so I won't get fined.
Oh,
So
wow.
that's why I watch Fight Night, because I'm on this podcast and I didn't want to get fined.
I didn't know I could find you. Like that's a revelation for me. All right.
So no, I have to one disclosure. So we were doing two episodes at a time, so I only got to six. But based on our normal plan, so I didn't finish it. I'm not sure that I will now that we're not talking about this anymore. So Kevin Hart never grew on me. I never believed anything he said, and I don't know how other people believe anything he ever said.
Well, the part
I
of his
will
character
say
is that he's supposed to be a
he's a
liar. So,
BS artist. That's the
yeah, so
problem.
you're
Yeah.
not
Yes,
supposed to
but
believe
liars are
him.
supposed to be convincing. Like that's why they're liars. They're good at it, and they convince people. I didn't believe a word Kevin Hart said in this whole show.
Interesting.
Having said that, I absolutely loved the scene where Terrence Howard Cadillac was in the batting cage. I
Oh, that was
thought
good. That was
that
good.
was so unique
You
in
knew what
terms
was
of how
coming
to
too.
shoot.
You knew what was coming. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was just incredible. I was amazed by that scene. And I don't know, I mean, I know it's some combination of the writing and the direction, but Terrence Howard has to have played baseball before, because he was so comfortable with the swings and saying his lines in between the scenes. So to me, Terrence Howard, I in general, I think he's a pretty great actor. There are times when he's more exciting and times he's less. But to me, that batting cage scene was reason enough for him to
Riveting.
do the whole series. I really love that scene. But so no, Tom,
Okay.
Kevin Hart never grew on me in this show.
I'll
Well,
be
I was
you.
cheering for Don Cheadle for this show.
Oh yeah.
I didn't want Chicken Man kind of got a happy ending, and I didn't like that. I didn't want him to get a happy ending
Well,
at
apparently
all.
the real guy actually did
Oh
end
yeah.
up like
Yeah,
that, which is,
he
I mean,
became a
It struck me, you know, when they first showed it, I said, "Oh, come on, that's
I
a
know,
little
right?
much." And
I
then they
know.
showed at the end that that's exactly what he
What
did.
happened? What happens in real
So,
life?
yeah.
Yeah. Malik, I would love to know, just fast forward. Well, you can't fast forward always on Peacock.
If you want to talk about it, I'll watch the last two episodes. You want to talk
Well,
about it?
I'd be interested for you to see the Debbie Allen scene, because
Okay.
I've
Yeah,
been a fan
it
of
was
hers since
good.
the original Fame, but when she shows up as, like, the
Matriarch.
as the matriarch slash the puppet mistress, I'm like, oh, so that's why he is the way he is.
And I like that Sam Jackson called it
Oh
too.
yeah.
Oh
I like
yeah.
that he called it at the
Oh
end. He
yeah.
was like, he said, "Your daddy's problem, him getting killed had nothing to do with him. It had to do with him listening to your mama." He said, "Are you listening to your mama right now?" And I'm like, "Oh, snap. Oh, snap." Like, that was fantastic. That was really
I'll
good.
watch it. I'll watch it.
It's interesting though, because I looked at some of the reviews, and a lot of people, I don't know if the expectations are just so low, because Kevin Hart, as an actor, he's an okay comedian, but he basically just infused Chicken Man with his typical comedy persona, and it sounds like that didn't work for you, because a con man has to be convincing to gain somebody's confidence.
Yeah, that's why it's called a
Absolutely.
confidence man.
Because he's doing the same comedy shtick. I don't know.
I didn't pretend he was my least favorite part of the show, honestly. So I can
But that
kind of,
supporting cast, though.
yeah,
Ooh, it
everybody,
was
Don,
great.
I
Yeah.
was there for Don Cheadle
And I
and
bet
Sam
you
Jackson.
this would not have gotten made had he not attached himself to it.
Who, Kevin Hart?
Kevin Hart, yeah.
Oh,
That's likely.
yeah.
I
He
bet you.
attached
He's the
himself to
one
it
who
as an
said, I'll
executive
do
producer.
this because he's a movie star. That's what made all the pieces fall in line for him to win these Oscar winners and nominees.
All of those guys said they're all friends. They were like,
Oh,
"Oh,
I believe it.
we get to work together and do this thing. All right,
I
cool."
want to see a Black Ocean's 11 with them. That's what I want to
Oh, that would
see.
be
Can we do
good.
it minus Kevin Hart, though? Is that all I'm asking? Because
Maybe he can just
no,
produce.
he can. But see, if you do Ocean's 11 with Kevin Hart, it'll work because he will be the comic relief guy, and he's not going to be playing somebody other than what
He's
he's
not going to
playing.
allow that now. He's too big now. He's not going to allow himself to be
His
a
head's too
secondary
big,
character.
what you're saying. That's true.
Yeah. And I mean, by the way, I'm well wishes for him. I'm glad his career has worked out to where it is. So it's a beautiful thing for him. I didn't enjoy seeing him in this role.
But overall, I would say it was an okay, it had some really, really good moments with some really, really good actors, but it needed to be a little shorter.
Six episodes,
Yeah.
not eight.
Yes. I think
There
it
needs to be somebody at all the some a service to all the streaming services saying, you don't have enough story for eight episodes. Six. Somebody
Yeah.
who vets all the scripts. Six, seven, four.
See, maybe we would have actually been able to keep chaos, you know, if they just reduced the number of episodes in other shows that are too bloated, you know? I mean, you could save money that way.
A
Keep the
little bit
good
from here, a
stuff.
little bit from there. I like it. I like it.
All right,
Yeah.
well, let's wrap that one up. Next up, we're going to talk about Agatha All Along, and we're behind on Agatha, so we're only going to be talking about episodes 3 and 4, which is the beginning of the trials, and it's the first and second trial. The first trial is with the poison wine, and they all take the poison wine, except Agatha, for some reason, thinks she can skip this trial and not take the poison wine, and I was
Because
like,
Agatha's a selfish witch.
well, she is, but I feel like she's done the road before. She's the only one
It
who's done
wouldn't
the road.
work. That's the thing. She tries
Yeah.
to do things like she brought a green witch who's not even a
A green,
witch,
yep.
like, and then she tried to not drink the wine for the trial. It's like that's not going to
But it
work. So
worked,
I
right?
agree that she's selfish, but it also seems somewhat unintelligent on her part.
Correct. That's the thing that bothered me on this one was she didn't take the wine. She's done this trial before.
Well,
Why
we
would
don't know
she
if the
think?
trials are all, we don't know if the
That's
trials
true.
are
They're not the
exactly
same.
the same.
They'd be
They'd be
different. That's
different,
true.
yeah.
But I
But she,
feel
well,
like,
it's going to be
different. But the thing is, she knows basically what the trial is
is
about, and
for, right.
it you know, it requires certain things. I do think it's kind of interesting that she is the only one who survived the trial that she did before. And yet she is, like, you know, you said, cheating all the time. So it makes me wonder what exactly happened in that first trial. You know, I mean, but how exactly did she end up being
the only person who's ever completed the witch's road? Mm-hmm. And we also know she has a penchant for killing other witches.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So let me say this, because, you know, I wasn't a big fan of the first two episodes. I wasn't that excited about it. Episodes 3 and 4, had they been my first episodes, I'd be encouraging other people to see the show. So I liked 3 and 4 far better than I liked 1 and 2.
Agreed.
And in particular, I liked 3. I thought, you know, one, we, as an audience, we're being introduced to the concept of the trial in the first place. So the first trial is going to be interesting because we don't know what to expect, and we're figuring it out along with them, which I think is really nice, really fun. Also, I have to say this, it was also more of an ensemble. It was less of a focus on Agatha's character, which for me is helpful to be able to deal with the rest of the ensemble. And then I'm trying to figure out if I got this right. She does call Aubrey Plaza in as the...
That's the next episode.
Okay. Well, I'll leave it there, but you already know I'm a fan of Aubrey Plaza and the work that she is just eating this role.
That is true.
Just eating
very much.
There's
right
no background
alley.
Scenery chewing. She's just chewing all of it. Not just the background, all of the scenery. Yeah,
she's just loving her role.
So the only thing less that I want to say about 3 for the trial is that it's all about potions, and
which I thought was really fun.
It was really cool.
You know, it's a great way to start, you know, a traditional witch, you know, series episode with a potion, but make it modern. I loved all the like modernizations of like the Eye of Nude and like, you know, the frogs like or whatever, like, and it's like they're using makeup and they're using Vaseline
and the cauldron was the sink and all of that stuff was
and they're all
really
dressed
good.
Like beautiful, like, you know, in that white, you know, suburban kind of, you know, whatever. I mean,
Real Housewives.
Yeah, real. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Real Housewives kind of, you know.
And one thing I really do love is every trial they have like a weird costume change in a weird era. So that was our first indication that we were going to do that. And it broke my heart a little bit that the green witch who wasn't a green witch was the first one to go down.
Sharon.
Yeah.
She did not.
I was
not
surprised by
that.
Who's Sharon?
That was fantastic.
Ooh.
So Sharon dies and everybody's all sad and Agatha goes, "Who's Sharon?" And
who's
I was
Sharon?
Like, wow.
That's the best line.
Wow.
No, but you know what? So but good. What's really, but oh, I'm also sad on a show level, because she really was the comedic relief, and she was really funny. I thought she was great, and I thought, "Oh, we're not going to have her anymore." So, I mean, I was hoping they would bring her back to life, but as I'm watching more episodes, I'm seeing that that's probably not going to happen. So
basically, she brought a civilian in to try to trick people and cause her to get killed.
Yeah, well, there's no excuse, Tom. That's exactly what she did. That's exactly what she did.
I would argue that Sharon, because she still seemed to be lingering under effects of the fact that she had a magnificent garden, that she could have been a green witch and didn't know it.
Yes, but that's still a civilian, because she didn't.
Yeah, but she was a civilian.
Because she was probably like a blood witch. She has witch
blood.
But she was in
her background, but nothing that she's aware of.
No,
she's the only one who did not understand what the witch's road was and the risk. And she just was like, "Oh, you're inviting me to
and
a party."
And she didn't know the words to the song.
Party.
Are we supposed to know the song?
And so I felt really bad for her. And she was the first casualty down. Like, oh, man.
Poor thing.
Oh, Mrs.
But it also made the show very real for me. I was like, oh, they're killing people. I was like, you know, I was like, this is not going to be just, you know, just fun and silly. I was like, this is, there's some stakes involved.
There's stakes.
So, I mean,
it makes
sense.
She, yes, to your point, But also, she only died because they forgot about her. Like, yeah. They were like, oh, we're all cured. Jazz hands, we're all cured. Right.
And then they're like, oh, wait, isn't she? And then they looked behind them
so
and saw her.
So they waited too long.
Yes, yes, so, they waited too long. So that was super tragic because she wasn't part of the crew. She was not part of the team. Yeah. So then you get to the next episode. The next trial is the singing.
Rock band.
You said rock.
Rock band.
Rock band.
It's the one with the curse. The woman, she's got a family curse.
Oh, right.
And the way her mom staved off the curse for her was to create this song.
Which was a protective spell.
It was a protective spell that somebody somewhere in the world would be playing constantly because she made it a hit. And I was like, wow.
That was cool.
That was
that's
really
a cool,
cool
concept.
Yeah.
However,
uh-oh.
Howsoever.
Uh-oh.
It's a cool concept. I like the idea of it. I think the main problem with that is, one, it did look like Rock Band. I mean, it looked like they were getting in front of a Nintendo screen and trying to play music. But because the first version of The Witch's Road was so well done, this felt like an inferior remix to me.
Well,
so
by first, you mean the Sacred Chant version, which was number
chant,
10.
Like the authentic OG?
Yes, the OG version where that got them to the Witch's Road in the first place.
That was fantastic.
That was so well
like,
done.
That's
that
like the
this
original.
One,
yeah, but that's like a remix. This is like a remix, and then
I know,
I
but
think
the remix is supposed to be better than the original.
Well,
remember the very
no, it's
first
a different
version.
Well, actually, we haven't
the
heard
opening
the original yet because the original is the hit that she
yes,
wrote
on the
that's
record.
Going around, and we I'm not going to get to spoilers, but the thing
spoiler,
is, we haven't
okay.
heard.
We
haven't heard that
ourselves.
Yet. We haven't heard.
All
that
right,
yet.
Well, I'm compared the version that they sang to get to the Witch's Road was so good and so captivating that
yeah.
this remix felt inferior to me.
Right.
So I like the concept. I like the story. I loved Aubrey Plaza's role and all of that. The song itself didn't
it was
hit
a little
for
flat.
Me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that.
So
but I did like them defeating the demon. That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
What do
demon
we think
slash
about
curse.
The relationship between Aubrey Plaza, Rio Vidal? And I'm sorry, kids, but if you know a little Latin or Spanish, that's River of Life.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Aubrey Plaza's character's name is Rio Vidal.
Oh, it is?
I didn't know that.
And Rio is
that.
River, Vidal is life. So,
right,
so you're saying she's a slow horses character, River? Is that what you're telling us?
Ah, no. No, I'm just wondering, especially since she plays a goth-type character and previously has played a goth-type character. I'm like, is that the ultimate misdirect?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask
it's
about...
It's possible.
I thought you were going to ask about her relationship
with
Agatha.
Agatha. With
Agatha.
The clearly
and
romantic
the
relationship.
Because
there was some
Agatha,
something, something.
It seems
I feel
like
there was some history there.
Exes.
Yes.
I feel there was definitely history there. Yeah. They've,
and
they've
it feels
obviously
like Aubrey's character betrayed Agatha in some fashion.
Or the other way around.
Or the
no,
other, more likely.
Well, she
kind
of said it.
She
kind of said.
It. Aubrey, she kind of apologizes. She's like, okay. I was doing my job. Whatever that was. That betrayed Agatha.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Considering
they were
Agatha's
together,
record,
right?
Yeah.
But I mean, clearly there was a romantic element
yes.
to that relationship,
yeah.
which
yeah.
before we just thought they were enemies or frenemies.
Yes.
And that episode told you, oh, it was deeper than that.
Right.
Can we talk about the elephant in the room, by the way?
What's that?
Something that Marvel maniacs have been
oh,
expecting
the,
for years.
The child.
No, somebody name drops Mephisto.
Oh, right.
And that is
that's a Marvel
huge,
thing.
Huge! Because all throughout WandaVision, everybody's like, Mephisto, Mephisto.
I'm not sure if you understand what elephant in the room means, because that's not... That's not what we were all thinking, Tom.
I was not thinking that either.
Are you talking about Teen?
Yeah.
I'm talking about Teen and who his mother is. That, to me, I thought was elephant in the room.
Yeah, but that's not yet. That's not yet. We don't find it out yet.
Yes, it is in episode 4. They bring up I have not watched ahead.
Well, at the very end when Rio and Agatha are together, one of the things she says to her at the very end
child.
To cut her off is it's not your child.
Not your son.
It's not
your
Agatha's
son.
Agatha's child.
So right. They spend the whole episode making us think that he is her child.
Or could be.
And then
or could be.
At the end of the episode, Aubrey Plaza says, and I should learn her character's name.
Rio.
Oh, River of Life. Yes, Rio says he's not your son. That happens at the end of episode 4. So
yeah,
I thought that's what you meant.
True. We don't know that that's true. That's just what she said.
That's what she says. Yes.
Right. But what leads me to also think I know what the betrayal was, because it's insinuated that Agatha made a trade for the Darkhold. And she thought she was trading. I don't know what she thought she was trading, but what they ended up taking in exchange for the Darkhold was
her
son. And I, based on this, I think Aubrey was the one that took her son. Because it was part of the deal.
Very likely, yeah.
And that's what the whole betrayal thing between them is. And that's
when there's magic involved, you never make a trade like that because they don't go well.
Yes. It's like you traded your firstborn, you just didn't realize it.
Rumpelstiltskin, essentially. We didn't learn that lesson.
Right. So I feel like that's where they were going with that. But I can't wait for us to get to the next two episodes. Because, of course, all of us except Malik have watched the next two.
I'm following the script.
We have sigils.
I have to say, you know, I'm really enjoying this extra. I'm enjoying this series extra because it's so original. Like, you know, it's not on a property that, even though it's Marvel, you know, it just feels very original. And it's not based on something that, I mean, I know it must be a comic, obviously. But I don't think they're following the comic, are they? This is like an original.
Before WandaVision, Agatha Harkness was best known for being Franklin Richards, Reed and Sue Richards' son's babysitter, period. There is no Agatha comic book that they're drawing from. Jack Schaefer is like doing her own thing.
Right.
And weaving in other aspects, but I trust her implicitly.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. I'm really enjoying this because it's really refreshing. It's, you know, it feels new. And I mean, it's funny to say something like that because, you know, it's not. It's about witches and, you know, a lot of the, you know, the things that we know about witches and all of that, you know, is all the same. Historically, it's like vampire lords, witch lore. But as far as the show is concerned, as a show, it feels new for me. And I'm really enjoying that aspect of it. And having seen the next two episodes, I will just say that it continues to feel fresh and fun and new, and I'm proud of the show, really, for like not having any source material to go off of and just doing a good job. So
well, they do have source material. There's references that they're making from various comics.
Yeah, there is no
one thing. And where Agatha is concerned, I think this is an example of where they have their strongest series, because I think prior to Agatha, the only series that I really liked that they did was WandaVision and Loki. And in both cases, they didn't feel the need, or at least for Wanda until the very last episode, they didn't feel the need to tie it back into the MCU slavishly to, you know, prep it for a new movie. And actually, Wanda ended badly because they used the last episode to do that.
Set up for Doctor Strange too.
Yeah. Oh God. When that was really worth waiting for. I'm hoping that they keep fidelity with this. That they just decide to, you know, have a good story, the beginning, middle, and end, and they don't try to tie it into something larger and just, you know, ruin it. Because so far, I'm really enjoying the series.
I would agree. I did not see this coming. If you had asked me which Marvel TV show I'm looking forward to.
You were so dismissive of this show.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Is this the one where she was like, nobody asked for this?
I'm totally agreeing. I was totally wrong. I totally will admit that. I thoroughly am enjoying the show. It is one of the best surprises that I've had. Because I didn't see this show coming.
Also, I want to say, even though he's not a true teen, I don't know how old he is. I'm sure he's in his 20s. He's playing a teenager. And I really like him. I like the teen.
Yeah,
I like the guy who's playing the teen.
Yeah, he's got an earnestness about him that I really believe.
Yes.
Yeah, he also stars in something called Heartstopper,
Heartstopper.
which is supposed to be fantastic. I haven't watched it
I
yet,
don't know
but
what that is.
I know there are people who love it. It's a gay relationship story.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to be just fantastic.
Sorry, I've heard that.
And
this
one's called what?
Heartstopper.
Heartstopper.
I won't tell you what I
thought
she
said.
Okay.
I've heard the same thing, and I'm interested in watching the series now because I'm not really I'm not really into watching teen dramas, but
yeah,
I heard that it's excellent, and I
and
really like
good.
Him in this. Yeah,
yeah.
He's
on
good.
The strength of his acting, I would check it out.
Mm-hmm,
yeah,
exactly.
The bone sings his praises, literally.
All right. Well, we need to wrap this one up
yep.
and wrap this podcast up. So we're giving Agatha thumbs up as well.
Jazz hands.
Wrong show.
This is the
not
jazz
just thumbs,
episode.
But all the fingers.
All
okay.
the fingers.
All right. If you guys have any questions or comments, you can leave them at tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, on Facebook. You can listen to us on sci-fi.radio and YouTube. And we'll talk to you guys next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.